First of all, most of you should have had an index card. And I would ask that you can do this without looking at me. You know, it's not like it's a time drill or whatever. I just want you to write one thing down about either what have you learned from the pandemic? What do you feel is different about you from the pandemic? What maybe you want to do in the future now that these things have transpired? So I'm not going to collect them. I'm not going to ask you to put the name on there. But the other thing I am going to ask you is that you do have to do this. You all have pens. I want you to write it down. Why do I want you to do that? Because the more that we write things down and hold them, it's going to help us to remember these things. And I realize for some of you, it may be very, very bittersweet and very difficult to even try to write those things down. I'm going to ask you that you take a moment and do that and just hold on to that for today. So my focus today, and I just want to share the lead in. So when Pastor Chris talked to me about going away for camp and that he wanted me to fill in today, right away I'm like, ugh, you know, but, you know, okay. Yeah. But then all this crazy stuff started happening in regards to the lining up of this. First of all, I never prepped my sermon until maybe I like get my head together, which is a hard thing to do, and then I lay out my plan normally the week before. I have a theme, but I don't know what I want to say, if that makes any sense. I had the theme of my sermon on Memorial Day, which really scared me. And the next time that happens, I'll understand why, because I'll explain to you in a minute. So I had it on Memorial Day. All right, it's very unusual. Literally, I was ready to transmit this thing the first week of June, which is real scary. All right, to Shannon to get it ready for that. So the reason that I share that is that then all these things start to happen, and I'm going to allude to that in a minute, all the way up to Noli being sick and us having to do some things, that my time frame just kind of like compressed. All right. So I thank God that he at least gave me, hopefully, what we're supposed to hear early on. And then I started getting a lot of affirmation in this from the past two sermons that I attended to with Pastor Dan and with Pastor Chris, to the point when Pastor Dan got done, I like ran up to you and was like, dude, like, this is going to be great, I hope, because it was almost as if there's like a part three to some of the things that have transpired. So if you will all bear with me, that's the direction that I really want to go on. So it's going to be important that we try to tie all the things together, and I am extremely conscientious about my time because I'm still getting beat up on that, and you can stop laughing a little bit because next time you go over, I'm going to be right on you. But anyway, so just hold on tight as we go through with this. Oh my, it was so much easier when I just stayed in the Catholic faith, so I'll just let that be. So, and I apologize for that because that sounded nasty. But anyway, so I want to talk to you today about mentoring at a 360 degree, three key points: traditional, distant, and group. When I get done today, I think you'll kind of understand what I try to do, because literally my sermon started when the kids came forward today. I'm trying to put some stuff in your head, because that's just the way I learn, so I'll let it be it for that. So I want to talk to you very, very quickly about some stuff that I spoke to you in May, all right? And I really try to drill you on community stuff. So this is basically a self-examination for you all, and please, don't criticize yourself from some of these things. I just want to hold us in check. You know what I find that's a danger, and I know it doesn't happen to you. Sometimes when I come on Sundays, I feel like, okay, I went on Sundays, and then I kind of do stupid stuff for 6 days, and then on Sunday, I'm like, that was not a really good week. I should get back on track a little bit, and I kind of go through this. For me, for those of you, especially if you are members of the church, you believe that Christ is your Savior, you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, we really need to step our game up a little bit, all right? So I'll just speak for me. I'm consciously every day trying to make a point that, okay, what's the next thing that I need to do? Where's God leading me? Where should I be going through this? So that the follow-up is some of the stuff that I talked about the last time I was here. So let me just whack on this a little bit. One of the things was, and I realized COVID had a major impact on everything. Trust me, you know, that part I got, okay? I asked you about your hospitality, that one of the things that would help bridge us as a church and as a community is if you would be more hospitable, which means that are you willing to invite people into your house, if that makes any sense, and you can do a simple meal, you can make wraps, you can have them over for coffee, you can do whatever. You don't have to go crazy with this, and I know financially you may be thinking, oh, I gotta cook all this, just regroup. I can remember in youth, we used to do two-minute drills with the popcorn. You take a bag of the microwave popcorn, you go over to a kid's house, you start conversation, you take the popcorn, put it in a microwave, hit the 1 minute, 45-second thing. You let that thing pop, and while it's popping, you just ask them how they're doing, miss you, love you, whatever, here's your popcorn, and you can literally run out of the house after 2 minutes. That's just a drill, a dumb drill that, you know, I've done in the past, all right? So it can be that simple, or it can just be hanging out on your porch or whatever. You don't have to clean your house. You don't have to freak out about everything, okay? Bring people in, let them see who you are at that level, and just start loving on them. That's number one. The second thing is, how many new people have you met at church, and what can you tell me about them? All right, so far today, we have people from California, Florida. We have two families here from Florida that, like, kind of, sort of Florida. We have a lady here that was born and raised here, and she's now in Florida. We have people from West Virginia here or whatever. So that's what I did in 11 minutes. All right, just ran around a church, and I'm sure most of them people don't want to talk to me anymore, but, you know, because I started asking them all these questions. But how many people have you met at church? And spend some time with this. How's your perspective when you look at people in the community? And if you remember, I talked to you about the community extensively, and praise the Lord, I've had several families call me and say, hey, would you take us on a car ride and show us places? And I've had an opportunity to do that for members of our church, and some of the churches actually in the community have given me a call just to kind of heighten the awareness of things that are going on. But how do we approach those people that are in the community? So that's kind of like what I did, you know, in May sometime on that. So again, I want to challenge you, if we're going to grow in being able to reach our community and to strengthen us, there's strength that needs to be occurring within the church, but then also it's going to make it easier for you. If you're a little nervous about inviting your neighbor over, then start with somebody at church, kind of practice that. And if you're really scared, you can ask them, would you hang out, all right? And I'm going to invite my neighbor in, and then, you know, they can kind of coach you, whatever, which is a whole different thing. Please don't stay like in a closet or something and coach them or whatever. Like, be out front so it's not real crazy with that. So that's it, all right? Now, the other thing I share with you, we should be able to do these things based on what we know from the scriptures. And this is like a dumb Bob tactic where I think about stuff, because a lot of people say, well, I can't do that because I'm not sure of this and all that. Time out, all right? We know in the scriptures that God created all things. We also know that he made a plan for redemption. We also know that he sent his son, who was anointed by God, and Jesus went around doing good things and preached about the kingdom of God. He was innocent, he was betrayed, he tried, convicted, tortured, hung on a cross, and he died, and he was buried. On the third day, he rose again. That is insane. Insane. He commanded his disciples when he returned about going to make sure that they would preach so that all would believe in him and shall have forgiveness of their sins. So you could literally take this, all right, and keep it in your pocket or keep it on your table at your house. And the reason that we want to be hospitable, the reason that we want to meet people, the reason that we want to be doing good works in a community is that everything that you are doing, all that we have, everything that we see, God created. And through that creation, he put a plan for redemption. He sent his son, who was anointed by God. He went around doing good work in the community, right? That's my version, okay? Preaching about the kingdom of God through his actions. And when the door opened in a mentoring moment, a discipleship moment, he would just pull the trigger. And it just came out and went right to the heart of the people. Because of everything he did, he was innocent. They hung him on a cross. They betrayed him. They whipped him and beat him brutally. They put him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he arose to confirm what we know about the scriptures, to add, like the child say, for me, like the final deal. Like, this is legit. right? And then when he came back, he said, oh, and by the way, he commanded the disciples that were with him, us, that we need to go and preach, and we need to be busy in a community doing good works so that people have an opportunity to seek forgiveness for their sins. Cool? So I asked you about hospitality. Do all these things. If you're saying, well, I'm not real sure about the scriptures, what I'm supposed to do, da-da-da-da-da, the bottom line is you can remember all that. All the stuff was created. I sent a son, went around doing good works. They betrayed him, they put him in a tomb, rose again. He said, hey, in my absence, I'm always going to be with you. I'm going to empower you through the Holy Spirit, and here's some things that I want to make sure that you get taken care of. Whew. All right? I think it was two slides on there. My apologies for that. I didn't do that fair enough. Okay, now here's the cool part. All right, this is the part that went, that when I was like, I was jumping up and down. All right, this is no joke. All right, so when Pastor Dan came like 3 weeks ago, all right, and he's the guy with the mustache or the thing. And I did ask him, by the way, about that. Where'd you get that thing, man? But anyway, here's some things that I think where God's like trying to take what we talked about in May and bringing us to this point of 360 mentoring, okay? Pastor Dan said a lot of stuff. Here's some stuff that like poked me while I was sitting in the back there. That the investment in the community and other people takes time. Whoo! And where's Miss Slaughter? We were talking in the back down there. If we're going to invest in other people's lives and we're going to invest in our community, I want to encourage you that it is going to take time. I want to remind you that it's going to take time, which means that we seriously need to consider a legacy and time that we're going to spend in the community. Because, and some of it might be work, some of it may be family, some of it may be extenuating circumstances. I completely understand. And I'm not saying if you live in one state and you're gone, the other time, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about that it is going to take time for us to invest in a community, which means that we have to schedule time. We have to commit time because it's just going to take time. I love what he had to say, that it took 5 or 7 years, all right, for him to really, shall I say, infiltrate to a point where those who were not believers in Christ trusted him enough to ask them to come into their circle. And when that circle came, a huge, I'd call it a barn door opened up, and he was able to present the gospel. And I think to myself with that, because there are times that I think that we get frustrated because we're looking for immediate dividends. We're looking for something like right now. So church, those of you, and I realize some of you are visiting today, just kind of bear with me. It is critical that we invest time in the community, in the works that we're going to do. It's almost like we should think about a plan on what we're going to do. The other thing is that our life in the community means that we need to engage at a higher level with non-believers. Man, if he didn't punch me in the face about that CrossFit thing when he said he hated CrossFit and then he joined CrossFit, through CrossFit, that kind of opened all these doors. And I'm not telling you to go out and do CrossFit because I don't know if I'm really excited about that, to be honest with you. But where are you going to invest? Now, let me explain something to you, and I want to try to go easy with this. All right, is that I'll use this as an example, all right, so that I'm not going to get in trouble, all right, is that when my son started work in York, the majority of the work that he's in up there is there's very few Anglo-Saxon people up there. Fair enough? One of the guys I hooked up with, Tavares, he was awesome, all right, we were 9 weeks into the plan or whatever, and we were going to wait. We had this plan. We're going to do this discipleship training at like month 6. We needed to do something right then and there. I am the only Anglo-Saxon mentor that's sitting there, and I have 7 or 8 brothers with me, all of a variety of nationalities and background. And I started acting in my Anglo-Saxon approach. I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings when I said, like, I'm trying to figure this all out. You know what I mean? And I remember afterwards, about 2 weeks afterwards, he came to me one day, and he was crazy. And he was born and raised on the street. He's got a crazy story. Former Marine. What is it about the Marine Corps? But I'll let that be. All right. So this is what happened to him. He came to me about 3 weeks into this thing on a Sunday after church, and we were just meeting we were actually meeting in an open lot. And he came up to me and he goes, "Hey man, what are you doing after church?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Can you give me a hand with something over my house and, you know, maybe we can hang out or whatever?" I was like, "Sure." So he got him in my truck and drove in there. And I can't remember what it was we took in there. I think it was a washer or something. We took it in the house. Everything's fine and dandy. And he turned around and he said, "Sit down for a minute, man." So I'm like, you know, where's this going? He goes, do you realize that you're the only white person I've ever had in my house? So I hope I didn't want to be offensive with that. I was stunned. And then I got to thinking about, here I am in my bubble, and Dan talked about that. Well, there is a comfort where sometimes we hang out too much with us. You with me? Not that that's a bad thing, but how, and you're going to see where this is going in a minute, I hope, right? How am I ever going to engage my community if I remain in this bubble, or if I tend to always run to a theme or a culture or a base that I'm super comfortable with? You may have seen, rather than reaching out in love and trying to communicate the gospel in love in a way that's understanding for people. So I know, and again, I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm telling you, when Pastor Dan said that, I was like, oh my goodness. You know, like, I got to really be super conscientious about that, because when I get older, I can get a little comfortable with things. Also, because of my background, where I'm at with my fire department stuff or whatever, is that when he told me that our calling was not voluntary, all right, that really hit home. You know, like, what have I signed up for? Everywhere I go in the world, you know, there's so many things you have to do, and you got to qualify and all this kind of stuff. I needed to completely regroup to realize that these things that I'm telling you that I need to change in my life and the things that I need to do is not a voluntary point. Not a voluntary point. These are things we need to do. So I'm encouraging you today to step up on your game. Then Pastor Chris, you know, our resident theologian, all right, he started talking about pivot point. All right, and that was awesome, right? He talked about pivot point, the pivoting from anger and from jealousy, right? That level of frustration that we have, that we're so focused over here in regards to that, that we really are not doing what God's called us. So now all our energies are over here. We can't do what we got to do, or way over here about jealousy about what's going on. I'll tie these two together by saying is that I can get so frustrated and so angry about everything that's going on with it, that I missed the opportunity for me to invest time in people, to mentor people, to do what's necessary. The same with the jealousy. Why is this situation doing better than the situation that I'm in, and I'm all focused over here, and I'm really not doing a very well pivot point? He also said that we should use an example, that when we have a situation, all right, that the scriptures tell us that we need to just roll that situation away from us, all right, to just get it out of there, all right, and not go chasing it. I got to thinking about how I was going to do that, and I said, if I rolled it up that way, it's going to roll back, and then you're all going to think it's coming back. But, you know, maybe I should have done that, because, you know, sometimes I do that. Right. Sometimes I just, here, Lord, you take that. I'll be back. That's good. I'll be back. Sometimes that thing comes right back. It's like, all right, I got it. I'll put it back in my bag. I'll carry this thing all day long with me. What a knucklehead. Right. All right? That's me. I'm sure not you, but that's me. And I got to realize that it's doing that. So we talked about our engagement. We talked about some basic scripture things that we can do. And then how God just brought it all together. Because it's been a tough 3 weeks. Noli's been pretty sick. Looks like some of our family's going to wind up moving hours away from us. And, you know, it's been crazy. All right? So right away, I got the ball out. You know, I'm like, okay, am I on the angry side, on the jealous side? I said, nope. I'm staying the course for this, because I know God will get us through, and he's going to work some stuff out. There's no question in my mind. He always has. He does some crazy stuff. He's done a lot of crazy stuff in my life to get me where I'm at. So that's it. So now we're going to do the sermon. All right. 360 approach, and I will be done on time. I owe you all like 14 minutes is what Shannon told me, so I'll let that be. So, 360 approach. How can Bob, as a fireman, explain to you being able to mentor in a traditional, distant, or group way without trying to give you something to think about? So I want to talk to you about a 360 size up, and I'll just let that be. There are basically six sides to a box. All right, I didn't know whether you knew that. All right, it's all the sides and then the bottom and top. Because a lot of times when I ask people that, I say, how many sides are there to a box? They say four. And I'm like, no, there's actually six. All right, there's six. It is important when I am considering engaging into my home, into my family, and then into the community, all right, I really need to slow down a minute and consider, all right, what can I bring to the table relative to me examining this thing from a 360 approach. What can I do? What is going on as I examine all these sides of the box or this situation that's going on? And what resources do I need to come alongside me in order to mentor in my home or mentor in the community? So let me go backwards on that for just a minute. It is very important that if we're seriously going to be disciples, I've kind of hidden that in this mentoring thing. Maybe this mentoring could be a tool for you. Is that before we go charging in at the house, before we go charging in the community, all right, it is important that we consider all sides of the box. And I also need to consider what's my gift, shall I say? What am I able to do in order to develop how the Holy Spirit's leading me in what I've examined from this 360 approach? Or what other resources do I need behind me, shall I say? Or what do I need to do to help encourage me, if that makes any sense, as I go after this approach? So when I say that, and I'll dovetail on this, is that it is important that we understand the 360 approach. A 360 approach requires us to examine all sides of the situation or all sides of our community. Now, I gave you a little bit of that when I did the community thing. So maybe next time when you're riding in a certain area, how you perceive that area or that community when you're trying to impact them or try to have some type of relationship in regards to mentoring, whether it'll be traditional, whether it'll be distant, whether it'll be group, you've had an opportunity to do that. It also requires us to use all our senses through the Holy Spirit as we're looking at the situation. It requires us also to be able to take in the information. I'm going to stop right there. If you knew how many times I engage my mouth, if you knew how many times I tried to engage my Christian mouth, if you knew how many times I felt I was led by Bob before I took in all the information, at times it makes me nauseated. It is important that when we look at all that stuff, that we gain or work on an ability to take in all the information from our senses and then act. I realize that some of you may have instant capability to do that. You look at a situation, if you're led by the Holy Spirit, you go. But I can tell you, for me, I have to be careful with that because sometimes I am immediately thinking, I got all the resources I need, I'm going. All right? And what happens is I literally do not transmit in love the truth of the gospel in a way that situation, that culture, that person, that community can understand it and be able to take it in. So as we grow in mentor, as we grow in disciples, I want to make sure that we understand that. So let me just give you a very quick example of this. If I arrive and there's a situation, I hate to say a house fire because then something happens. So there's a house on fire. They drill the officers in never deploying an action plan without quickly doing a 360 of the situation. So my house on Sacred Heart Lane, it's basically a one story in the front, story and a half on the back. If there was anything going on in my house, they teach the officers, before you do anything, you make sure you hustle and you do a 360 around a building, which means that you literally got to get out of the vehicle, with all your senses, controlling your heart rate, and quickly go around the structure, and you're looking for things as you go around the structure. I'm looking for smoke, I'm looking for people, I'm looking for occupancy level, I'm looking for type of construction, time of day. I could go on and on. You got like 25 seconds to make that decision, and then you deploy the resources that you have. If I have a cat stuck in a chimney, all right, and I run around the house and realize, all right, cat's stuck in a chimney, and I'll go very easy with this, and I don't like cats, right? But then, and I look at my resources, and I have three trained people, and I have a ladder, and I have duct tape, or I have a hook, or a gun, whatever, anyway. But that was terrible. I'll probably get critiqued on that, okay? Then I know that, hey, I got this resource. I'll put this ladder on there. I tell them to be careful. Maybe I tell them to put a pair of gloves on, get the cat out, do whatever you got to do, yada, yada. I know that was a horrible example, all right? But I just use that on that. Or let's just pretend it's a really tall building and I get there, my ladder's not big enough, then I need help. I need something else. I have a family that, I have a family in my community. Another example, all right? And I go over there and I'm like sensing something from the Holy Spirit, and I realize that, you know, it looks like the husband and wife are getting ready to split up. Things are a mess, all this kind of stuff. And I really just take my time to think about, okay, Lord, where are you leading me to this? Is this something that between Noli and I that, you know, that we're capable of handling, or do we need other resources? Do I need to call, you know, I'll pick on Evan Proffen or somebody, you know, like, hey, Evan, you know, I got a situation here. What do you think? Hey, I'm going to send it out in a prayer chain. You with me? I'm trying to draw a little bit of parallel with that, but it's very, very important, because what happens is if we go too fast, all right, without looking at it, you know, like if I go in there and I immediately start attacking the husband because he's a knucklehead, all right, that may be really not the approach that's going to help to save the marriage, to save the marriage. So there are six sides to this box that I want to make sure there. So be careful before we engage, especially our mouth, and have a poor size up. I'll go one more step with this. I can tell you that a lot of people get hurt, killed, or things don't go well when we as a firefighter go there and we don't do a proper 360. We think it's this, we think it's that, we think we have this, we start deploying resources. Next thing you know, the thing just gets worse and worse and worse, and there's a loss of life, there's a loss of property, there's a loss of time. There's a waste of resources. Church, we need to be very careful in how God's leading us in the things that we do. When Pastor Chris and Morgan came here and tried to get everything together, and they basically had us, you know, kind of slam the brakes on, shall we say, and regroup and get us in there. I know the pandemic was an issue. It's important for us to make sure that we understand their heart in them trying to do this 360 of all the things that need to be done, and then start to draw up a plan of action where we're going to go, where those resources are, how we're going to use those resources, and do those resources effectively to make sure that we're doing what's calling with us. I feel like I'm running too fast there. I'm going to get you out in 2 minutes. No, I'm only kidding. So, all right. So where does mentoring start? Mentoring starts at home. And then it extends outward. Bob's credibility as a Christian, if I'm out telling men that this is what you need to do to take care of your wife, Bob going out and telling kids that this is what you need to do when I don't do anything with my kids, my wife doing things that are not in line with scriptures or things that we don't do and happen, then how are we ever going to be able to reach our community when we're struggling from within? I know tons of families that are brand new Christians that go a little too fast in engaging in everything else when things are very unsettled at the home. And there may be times in my life where I'm charging along and then things are really starting to happen at the home. You know what I need to do? Put the brakes on. I need to concentrate on home first so that I can be effective in the community. So if you would turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:2. Just a real quick example. What you have heard from men in the presence of many witnesses, Commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So here we have just one little snippet of the scriptures that talks about that there's all these witnesses around us in regards to the things that are transpiring. And because of that, it's important that we understand and use the paraphrase for men that we're sending those men that have seen what's going on and they're going out and being a witness to other people around us. It is very, very important that we constantly, and I've almost like memorized this, all right, because there's challenging times when at times I don't do this, is that if we're going to speak the truth, we have to speak in love. Because love will start with that truth and the message of the gospel in a way that we can communicate it to people so they can receive it at the level of where they're at. Speak truth in love. And that change starts with the truth of the message of the gospel and to assure that it is communicated in a way that people can receive it at their level. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. Keep moving forward. So in everything that we do in regards to mentoring, whether it's going to be, shall we say, traditional, whether it's distant, or whether it's in a group, we have to realize that if we're going to speak the truth of the gospel, it has to be in love. It has to be in love. If it's not in love, and if it's not in a way that people can understand it, if that makes any sense, then how are we ever going to expect them to really understand the love that we have for Christ if we're coming at them from a wrong approach? And I realize this is very broad, and I'm sure some of you here say, well, Bob, no matter what I do, if I just, you know, tell them the scriptures have power with that. Yes. All I'm trying to say is that how am I transmitting? Am I transmitting that in love? Am I transmitting it because I know that, shall I say, like my house is in order, I'm really trying to do these things? And I'm not talking clean and all that. I'm just talking about in a spiritual sense, in order for me to be able to get to them. And I have to keep moving forward. It is a journey. Go all the way back to what Pastor Dan said. He like really punched me when he said it. It takes time. 5-7 years, I did this, blah, blah, blah. Finally God opened the door, whatever. For some of you, it may take 5 minutes. I don't know. The bottom line is, it is a consistent thing. Our roots should be deep. Our roots should be deep in the community and committed to whatever it takes in order for us to transmit the aspect of our love for Christ. So I'll share this about traditional mentoring, and if you would bear with me as we go through these things. I want to just give you a quick examples about traditional mentoring for us is more that one-on-one, close, we're hanging out a lot. There's we actually maybe in the same household, in the same community, but it's a lot of time with the person. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of interaction with us. There's an aspect of, shall I say, the see and touch, and I mean that with all due respect, that there's a lot of time. So as I build on this 360 with you today, the one thing that I want to make sure that you understand is that when I finish today, on the other side of that card, you're going to have to write down what you're going to do. Are you going to traditionally mentor, distance mentor, or are you going to group mentor? And I'll explain that to you. And again, I'm not going to collect it, blah, 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 blah. You know, so just relax, all right? So traditional mentor, us close, spending time with people, mentoring them in love in a way that the gospel can be transmitted, in a way that they can understand so that they can grow in their love for the Lord and the service for the community. So think about Ezra, right? Assisted Nehemiah in interpreting God's law for his people. That had to require close contact. That had to require them to be like right here. And that meant that they would have shared time, meals, travel, you know, everything. They would have hung out together. Moses mentored Joshua. Joshua was with Moses when he went to the mountain to talk to God. Right? I mean, there was a separation once they got on the mountain, but the bottom line is that Joshua was there, which means that Joshua was hanging out with Moses on a regular basis. There was a traditional mentoring, traditional discipleship, however you want to do it, it was all fitting together. Naomi mentored Ruth, and Naomi was the one that urged Ruth to go and ask for protection from Boaz. And we'll read that in Ruth, the second chapter, the first verse. Paul mentored Timothy. Timothy was Paul's friend and chief associate, which means that there was a significant amount of time that they hung out together. They probably knew everything about each other, if that makes any sense. They knew each other. It wasn't a distant thing, even though there were times they spread apart. They stayed together. Barnabas mentored Paul, invited Paul in regards to helping and caring for a young church. Time invested, traditional mentoring. There were men in this church in the heyday when I came here that now, umpty-ump years later, as I'm doing this, I realize, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jerry Niles was my traditional mentor and never knew it, probably. I'm going to call him. I tried to call him the other day. Jerry Niles, guy used to be here. He and his wife were here back in the day, and I realize I'm talking like an old guy because they say I am. All right, so... But this guy spent time with me. Like, every time I saw him, he drove me crazy sometimes. Like, he would just, like, come hang out with me. He would call me. We'd go over to the house and all this kind of stuff. I was like, ugh. You know, like, I really didn't, I mean, looking back at it now, I understand, but he really spent time with me. But there was things about Jerry that I knew. Like, I knew him beyond just, you know, a simple meeting. I mean, he was crazy, right? You know, he was a lot of fun to be with. But Jerry spent traditional time mentoring with me. With me? You, other than in the household, we need to consider who we're going to really spend some time with. Who is God drawn close to you that you have access to that you can invest time in? Certainly your kids and grandkids or whatever that may be, but maybe it's somebody in the hall, in a community, across the street, where you don't have to, it's not this long distance situation. It's traditional, spend time. It may even be somebody that's physically in this building in regards to what can and cannot be done, what you can do, shall we say. So that is traditional mentoring. That is something that we consider for everything that's going on. Ezra, Moses, Joshua, Naomi, Ruth, Paul, Timothy, Barnabas, all of them spent traditional time with all of these people, shall we say. Some of them out of a requirement. They were just part of the tribe. They were there close by. But some of them deliberately called. And so when they were communicating with one another, there really wasn't this hierarchy. The communication was kind of lateral. Was able to go from one person to the next person. And when someone's close like that, that means they definitely got an eyeball on you. So if you say every day that you're going to brush your teeth and shave and wear a certain kind of shoe or whatever, and you get up in the morning, you don't do those things, they're like, wait a minute, you told me you were going to do all these things. I don't see that. Oh, they may not say that, but they're taking that all in. That's why it's so important that we're consistent. Or if you're not going to brush your teeth and you're not going to wear a certain shoe every day, then just let it be. I know that's pretty nasty, right? Just let it be so that they understand that this is where you are. That is a horrible example, right? But how about prayer? How about our language? How about what we're at in regards to, you know, right now, like our social media thing? How about how we interact with people in the community? So if they're shadowing me, and I'm saying I really need to do this, and I'm doing the opposite, then that there's a stumbling block there. How's the gospel going to get through in truth when I'm doing things that are really not in love? Because maybe I'm over here with anger, and maybe I'm over here with jealousy. And I haven't taken the ball and rolled it away so that I can do what I need to do in regards to traditional mentoring. Very, very important. Now, how about distance mentoring? Here's something else that we should consider as believers, or especially as a church, but I think on the individual level, it's very, very important. There's an opportunity for us to disciple other people that we just can't have time with. They're not close enough to because of geography, because of culture, and because of time, all right? I thought it was awesome what they were talking about there, where Morgan continues to, you know, hit us with the aspect of local, regional, global. All right, I'm going to kind of take local out for in a minute, but for the regional and the global thing, because of geography, because of distance, because of time, because of culture, it may be really hard for us to be able to mentor in a traditional way. You with me? So then what can I do, examining the 360 approach, Understanding what the needs are, understanding what I have, what resources I may need, how am I going to be able to communicate the gospel to them? May I read you something? This is from Pastor Matt Linsky from York, who's working with Unfolding Word. Bear with me. Most recently, the Lord has been opening up an opportunity for us to work with believers from Sudan. We will be training key Christian leaders in the Sudanese Arabic, which is a gateway language, who will work with an emerging group of believers from an unreached people group in that same region. Several workshops are going to be held in Uganda this fall. Now, let me just, that is just a snippet of something. I want to share something with you. Did you not hear the 360 approach? Where he realizes that because of geography and culture and time, in order to reach an unchurched group in Sudan, what he really needs to do is focus his attention on training Christian leaders in a language that can be communicated in love that is understandable. Man, I love this stuff. Because sometimes we waste our time in going at it. We did not really do a good 360. We didn't really think about what gifts we have and then what other gifts we have. Thank you, Pastor Chris and Morgan, that you stand here and talk about all the other Christian-based ministries that we need to embrace and use when we share the gospel. We can't do this by ourselves, church. We need other groups to assist us in being able to do this. And I'm not saying we're supporting this. Just regroup. There's no table in the lobby on this. I'm just trying to share with you is that the approach for mentoring, discipleship, winning the lost, right, it is critical that we look at what's available. So from a distance, you all may be able to be part of these things. I know we're going to, I mean, we have global reaches right now just through the SBC. The reason that they're doing is that they have done a very good 360. They understand what the needs are there. They realize they don't really have the needs, shall we say, as a committee. So they're looking at all the other churches to support them. I'll even go one other thing. It is possible, and I'm really cheating on this, is that you can't be here for Mega Sports Camp. There's a need that they talked about up here, other than some volunteers, or maybe you can help financially. Even if we can't engage by Zoom or everything that's going on, then what can I do to help get to the people from a distance, shall we say, in regards to our mentoring capability? What can we do? So I just use Matt as an example, and all this stuff's been coming up the past couple weeks, so I'll just leave out at that. Right. Group mentoring. This is pretty much our meat and potatoes. I know it's been very hard because of COVID. We basically have a single mentor that's focusing like within a group or a cohort. And a cohort, you don't have to worry about that. That's just a word that I use on some of the other things going on. They're very specific about studying the Word. Sometimes it's a deliberately focused biblical program, discipleship program to go after a specific area, right? I hate to keep saying like divorce care, youth, things like that, where they're basically trying to take the Bible in love, communicate it at their level. It's an aspect of mentoring that's very, very important. That's that group setting for us, as well as things that are done in the home. You inviting a couple over for a couple weeks, you know, maybe it's something on, I don't know, you know, whatever the topic may be to help them with that, it doesn't matter, but group mentoring. A great example of this is Celebrate Recovery. Thank you, brother, by the way. Thank you, those who have enough courage to even come and be part of the ministry. It is a focused program to address a specific need. Brother, I know that if you didn't communicate in love the truth of the gospel in a way that's understandable, dude, like, it's home run to me. You with me? All right? That's what it's all about. What if we had a program like that that didn't transmit in love? What if we had a program that didn't really communicate in a means that they could understand for what's going on with that? What if that happened? It would be, we don't have the resources. So I need to get training or whatever. And again, I don't understand the whole thing, and I apologize, but I guarantee you there's a pecking order that you went through before you just threw people in front of people like that. It is so important when we talk about that in regards to the group mentoring aspect. It is absolutely critical that we think about these things. So I want to make sure that as I kind of punch some of this together, traditional, something that is distant, something that, shall I say, is what I call, you know, the group mentoring or the group aspect of what's going on is very, very important as we move forward for everything that's going on. Now, okay, now I asked you, because I really want to do this, I asked you to fill a card out. Right? If you have not done that, you got 90 seconds to finish it. Now, some of the men that are in here, I just want to talk men for just a minute. If you're sitting with people and you're not writing anything down, and you can see me in the parking lot, all right? Shame on you. Because people are watching. Because traditional mentoring is a factor. Well, Bob, I don't know the people that are sitting in my pew. Well, then that's something I want you to fix. All right? I want you to start talking to these people. Traditional mentoring is important for us to do on that. Do you know why I brought the kids up here this morning? Because they are the next Bob Obbs. They are the next Morgans. They are the next all y'all. And sometimes I feel that we have forgotten that they are part of our church. I don't mean that as a bust, that's just an observation. If we do not do something to mentor them rather than just sending them to the ministry, and thank God for all the people that are working here, thank God the people that work with my kids in the heyday, then we are not taking care of home. You with me? If we can't mentor here in the church, we are in trouble. So I'm encouraging you, when you see them kids, to start, and I realize for me it's getting a little hard to kneel down, and I'll explain that to you, but like, I tried to at least do whatever I got to do, all right, to hang out with people, and some of the people, I can't even remember their names. I'm writing stuff down, I'm making cue cards on, but I'm telling you, church, we need to incorporate that, and that goes with the youth, that goes with any people that are in here that are single, that has to do with any of the grandparents in here are trying to do what's required, it has to do with anybody that's in here that's even got a divided household, or your household won't even come here, and I feel your pain, if that makes any sense. We need to start spending time mentoring while we're in the church. So you wrote something down, hopefully. I'm not asking you to like do a collective poll, but I want to do two things with you because I want to share what happened to you, which is like part six of this thing. It's been a crazy spiritual month. Crazy. Even though inside my heart aches for my wife terribly. I just don't like it. Don't like it at all. So I've said that enough. A young lady came to church today. First of all, I got to set the stage. I'm in the back. I'm talking to somebody, and they were asking, blah, 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 and I said, here's prayer, and I just talked to her about, and I've shared this before, and I hate to, like, I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. I just don't know what Nolly and I are supposed to do right now, like, where we're supposed to live, what's going on, like, it's really been, I don't like it, because I like plans, yeah, I like policy, I like timelines, I hate being late, you know, when I was younger, bring the kids here, and some of them weren't ready, I would leave, let Nolly bring them. All right, because I want to be here on time. I'm sitting in the back talking. I said, I don't know what's going on, but I said, my roots are deep here, so I don't know what's going on. So then a young lady came into church this evening, or today, with two little girls. And I almost lost it. Because I hope that I can confess this. I feel like I've spent a little bit of time with you and your husband. Had an opportunity to do whatever I can. If I ever messed up discipling you or mentoring you, I repent right now. All right? Well, what a blessing to see the little one in there. And I was able to do that coochie hoorah on her toes. She was grinning at me or whatever. And I looked over at the person I was with. I was like, okay, you know, like, I don't know. You know, like, I just love you all too much. Like, there's just too much hoorah going on. I just don't know what to do. But the only reason I say that is in my mind raced back to 2 years ago when you, no, but I mean my mind raced back, how old are you now?
I'm
I know that's a bad thing to ask a woman in church. She's 21. All right, so for 15 years, without me realizing it, and I'm just picking on me. A lot of y'all got more time in than me. But did I waste my time with her? Well, Bob, it's not your responsibility. Well, then you're on another planet. All of us have a responsibility to invest time in each other, whether it is traditional, distant, or whether it's group. There was times we were in group setting in youth department. We used to do a lot of crazy stuff. Man, it made me like really realize that this is not a game. Amen. Time is like running past, right? So when we come here, we need to encourage each other that where are we with this? What are we really doing? And you say, well, I don't know, half the people on it, and I'm not sure where I fit and all this kind of stuff. I'm telling you, man, there are people sitting right next to you, if nothing else from your household, then just step it up. Take it up another level. Do something, deliver it, so they can remember the good and certainly the bad. I know that's that. But take it up. Well, maybe it's just an aspect where I don't know where my resources are. Well, then maybe we need to specifically get into a study of God's Word that helps us to mentor a little better. I'm just using that as an example. All right. Well, I don't know where that's at. Well, then maybe we just need to communicate that. It doesn't have to be a 10-week study with a quiz. You can meet in a parking lot. You can meet, you know, a place where there's meat to eat, like bacon. All right. You know, whatever. All right. And you hang out and you communicate in love the truth of the gospel in a way that it's understandable to help that person go back out. Church, we got to do this, right? Like, we can't, it's not a thing, well, maybe. So every day, as crazy as it sounds, I'll tie this in regards to the aspect of discipleship. Every day, we are actually mentoring, in my opinion, in one of these three categories. Some of it's very specific, some of it's distant, and some of it is just the people that we're with on a regular basis. Even though in your community, the houses that surround Bob Murray on Sacred Heart Lane, even though that some may or may not believers, I have to understand that God is opening a door for me to do traditional mentoring if I will engage. Which means that I got to get out of my box from a non-believer's eye, from a non-believer's approach, and I need to pretend every day I'm pulling up with a fire truck, getting out, doing my 360, even if I have to take notes that, you know, Mr. Dave is a single man and the family across the street's doing homeschool and, you know, this lady's visiting from Florida. Whatever I got to do, I got to take notes. So when I go to talk to them or I see a door open through the Holy Spirit, that I'm able to shut me up and allow God to work through me. So the things that come out of my mouth, how I even present myself, is in a way that they understand love. They can hear the clarity of the gospel. And they understand that I'm being able to communicate that in a way that is digestible, right? It's very, very important that we do that. I really do not like doing this. I want to make sure you know that. I lose sleep. My stomach hurts because just the way it is. But I can tell you, God's done some crazy things getting this thing ready to go. So I'm good to go. I can actually do what I wanted to do. Thank you, Lord, that I slowed down enough, right? So I got to be very careful with this. Jack, can you catch this for me, brother? Good. I need somebody else to take the football. What's your name, brother? Can you take football for me? I don't know you, by the way. I will here shortly. Can you do that? Ooh, I'm impressed. People say, I don't know what to say to people. Now, Jack, on that ball, if it's the right one, wherever your finger lies, would you read the question on that ball? Thank you. What's your favorite food? Now, I know this is unfair because I did Jack, and I'm not saying walk around your neighborhood with, you know, throwing balls at you. All right? But I've also found that when I am in some type of traditional mentoring, this is a great way to get things going. So I imagine for Jack, you know, what is your favorite food? I don't really know, brother. What's that? What's the football say? It may not say anything, man. Very good. What is it? Okay, you should have got that. All right. Now, Now, I know this is silly, right? I got a whole a bag of different balls in here with that. So I threw that to you. I can have that bag, Jack. I'll probably miss it. That's cool, all right? What's your favorite food? What did you learn from the pandemic? Well, I don't know what to talk to people about. Dude, I'm telling you, you want conversation for a week? Do that. I asked three couples and another guy I wasn't a couple when we were in Delaware recently to meet me for lunch. And I asked them, what's one thing that's happened? What did you learn from the pandemic? Let me just read this to you real quick while you look at your card. And don't you write any of this stuff on a card because it needs to be personal for you. I need to be more careful. I need to spend more time with my family. I need to save money. I need to get away from all the political crap, unquote. I need to be around people so that I can learn things better. I was more productive when I was home. I got more done when I was home. My mental health was terrible. And, by the way, out of those three couples, two of them are now having kids. So they said, population increase. I said, well, I'm gonna let that be. How about that? And then, by the way, I invited them all here, David. They didn't come, but that's okay, right? They probably knew I was speaking. Now, so I gave you this as an example about a question breaker. You can use the thing that you have on there. So when someone responds to you, you walk up there, you're going to do a little bit of mentoring, you say, can I just ask you a question? I said, yeah, like, how do you feel about the pandemic? What happened in the pandemic? Blah, 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 blah. And they say, you know, apples and oranges. And you just take your card and say, well, this is what I felt. And guess what? You've already established communication. I went to the dollar store. I got a whole bag of them in here. All right, I'm going to get rid of them, all right, as well as rolling the thing away from the angry side. So I want to make sure that you understand that. It's just that simple. Just that simple. So remember when you're mentoring, it is a 360 approach. Remember that you need to understand and examine all the information, that all the styles may be different because of what's going on, and you always want to speak the truth and keep moving forward. Thank you for allowing me to share with you. Yep. So before I let Shannon crank this thing up, I want to share one other thing with you right now. If there was ever a time for us to be praying for our region, it is definitely the Miami area with Surf City. I can't believe what's going on there, being a responder for that sort of thing, the tragedy that's going on. So there's a great opportunity for us to do distant monitoring. For nothing else, see where the needs are, an opportunity for us to pray those needs. Man, I really hope that you would fall in love with my Jesus. I was a hard man, it took me a long time, but I know the simplicity of the scriptures. The God loved me, sent his son on this earth, did some crazy stuff in the community, was betrayed, put on a cross, put in a tomb, rose again, and from that is my salvation. One day in a lecture hall in heaven, I'm going to hang out and let him explain the big picture, but there is great simplicity in that. If you have not done that, I really want to encourage you that today is today, and especially those that are listening online, or if for nothing else, maybe it's just a day to be grateful for what Christ has done for us on the cross.